pasuk starts out, "Seitzin amacham alivecha." When you go out to war against your enemy, Hashem will give the enemy over in your hand, and you will capture its capturing. Now we know that the Torah HaKadosha is nitzchi, the Torah is eternal, is relevant to all times and to all people. And we need to know how this parsha is relevant to us in our days. Once again, I'd like to point out the questions we pointed out before on the parsha of Amalek. Zochas Asher Asa Lecha Amalek Baderech Betzeischem and Mitzrayim. And the Mefarshim point out that the words Baderech Betzeischem and Mitzrayim on the way when you were leaving Mitzrayim seem to be extra. We know when Amalek attacked us. Why does the pasuk need to mention that Amalek attacked us Baderech Betzeischem and Mitzrayim? And then when the pasuk says Timcha Ezecher Amalek Mitachas Hashemayim, erase the memory of Amalek from underneath the heavens, we need to understand why the pasuk has to mention Tachas Hashemayim, that we should erase Amalek from underneath the heavens. It seems to be obvious. Back in Parshas Beshalach, once again, it says Vayavay Amalek Vayilachem and Yisrael Berefidim, that Amalek came and waged war with Bnei Yisrael and Refidim. And Chazal say that the word Refidim is made up of two words, Rifyon Yodayim, a loosening of the hands, that Kivin Sherafu Yedeim and Atorah, as soon as Bnei Yisrael loosened their hands from the Torah, Miyad Vayavay Amalek, immediately Amalek came forward. And we need to understand why Chazal and the Pasuk actually uses the words Rifyon Yodayim, loosening of the hands. It could have been Rafu Atzmam, that they loosened themselves from the Torah. Why Rafu Yodayim? Pasuk said, "Vayikashiyara Moshe Yada v'gavah Yisrael." When Moshe lifted his hands, Yisrael would be victorious. And when he would put his hands down, Amalek would be victorious. And the Mishnah asks, "V'chiyadav shal Moshe oisus malchama shavris malchama." Did Moshe's hands make war or break war? How is it that Moshe's hands made the difference? And the Mishnah answers, that when Moshe lifted his hands, Bnei Yisrael would look heavenward and they would subjugate their hearts to their Father in heaven. That is when they would be victorious. And when Moshe would put his hands down, that element was not available, so they would lose. So we need to understand what is this concept of subjugating the heart to our Father in heaven, and what relevance does that have to the war against Amalek? Once again, these are days of Elul, preparation, time of preparation for the days of judgment that are quickly approaching. And as we mentioned, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos says that when a person comes into judgment, that the first question we are asked is Nasasa v'nasata b'emuna. Did you? Now, the literal understanding of the Gemara is: were your business dealings honest and trustworthy? And then the next question is Kavata itim l'Torah. Did you set aside time for learning Torah? We need to understand why is it in this specific order. Why is the first question, were your business dealings done with emuna? Were your business dealings done with honesty and trust and faith? The Gemara Masechet Brachos Daf Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yochanan, Ezehu ben Olam Haba, who is a person that will inherit the world to come. This is someone who recites Geula, redemption, right before Shmon Esrei, which is why by Shachris and by Maariv, we say the bracha of Gaal Yisrael immediately before Shemoneh Esrei. Let's specifically by Shachris. We say the bracha of Gaal Yisrael, he who redeemed Yisrael. We say that immediately before Shemoneh Esrei. One is not allowed to interrupt between Gaal Yisrael and Shemoneh Esrei, because this Gemara says that one needs to mention Geula immediately before Tefillah. Soymech Geula leTefillah. We have to bring Geula close to Tefillah. And the Gemara asks a question. The Gemara asks, Ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says elsewhere that B'tchila Eimer Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, that before a person begins Shemoneh Esrei, a person has to say, Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, Hashem, please open my lips, Ufi Yagiti Losecha, and my mouth will relate your praises. So this seems to be an interruption in between Goel Yisrael and Shemoneh Esrei. So the Gemara answers, since the Rabbanan established that we should say Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, therefore it is considered as part of Shemoneh Esrei. It's like a long tefillah, and therefore it is not considered an interruption. So we need to understand two things. First of all, what is this concept of mentioning Geula right before tefillah, mentioning redemption right before Shemoneh Esrei? Why is it so important to bring Geula and tefillah close? And how is it that Hashem Sefasai Tiftach is part of tefillah? The first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei is not a prayer. The first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei is praise to Hashem. Hashem Sefasai Tiftach is a prayer. Hashem, please open my mouth. How is that? How does that relate to the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei? And how is that not an interruption between Gaal Yisrael and the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei? The Zohar HaKadosh says, Shas Tzloisa Shas Krava, that the time of prayer is a time of war. We need to understand what the Zohar HaKadosh is saying. And I'd like to suggest that we can understand this according to the Arizal. The Arizal says that when we were in Mitzrayim, the Dibur was in Golus, that speech was in exile. And that when we left Mitzrayim, speech left exile. And this is why that on the Yom Tov that we celebrate our redemption from Mitzrayim, this Yom Tov is called Pesach, and the Arizal says that the word Pesach is made up of two words, which is Pesach, the mouth speaks. It is on this Yom Tov that we celebrate the mouth being able to speak, because as long as we were in Golus, our speech was in Golus. Now we need to understand what this all means. What does it mean that speech is in Golus and the redemption of speech? And the Sfarim HaKadoshim explain that when a person is involved in in business, in their in whatever area a person makes a living, or as a matter of fact, when a person is involved in any matters of physicality or materialism, even though we are obligated and it is necessary to involve ourselves in these areas, nevertheless, a person shouldn't involve themselves in these areas without becoming connected. Specifically, a person has to see to it that the person, that we do not enslave our minds to our business matters or to our physical desires. Specifically, when we're talking about business or our whatever our method of making a living is, we have to see to it that that our minds do not become, or our, or that we do not enslave ourselves to whatever we're doing to the point that we forget where our livelihood is really coming from. We have to remember that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one that provides for us. We are merely doing a hishtadlus because the Torah tells us to do so. The Torah tells us to create the vessel for the blessing to have where to what to have an effect upon. But we have to remember that our parnasa comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore it cannot be that by observing His will that we would be lacking our parnasa. So if in any way our business dealings contradict Hashem's will, there is no way that involving ourselves in such business dealings that would bring us any additional resources. Quite the contrary, that could only reduce the amount of money that we would make. Since He is the one, since the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one that is supplying our needs, it only makes sense that by doing business in such a way that coincides with His will, that we would be successful. In any other way, would not be successful. Included in this is the obligation for our obligation to set aside time for learning Torah every single day, if we're talking about women, to allow the wherewithal for their husband or children to set aside time to learn Torah, or for the women themselves to set aside time to learn that is necessary to know, for it to be to live one's life as a Jew. So I believe that the question that we are going to be asked on our Day of Judgment, which is Nasasa v'nasata b'emuna, which is literally understood as, were your business dealings done with honesty? I would like to suggest that the question is Nasasa v'nasata b'emuna. Were your business dealings done with emuna in Hashem? Meaning, were your business dealings in line with your emuna? Or perhaps, did you allow yourself to be connected to your business dealings in such a way that you forgot where your success is really coming from? And now the second question is a product of the first question. If indeed your nasasa v'nasata was with emuna, if indeed your business dealings were done with emuna and the Ribbono Shel Olam, if that's the case, kavato itam l'Torah, did you have time to set aside? Did you set aside time to learn Torah? If indeed you would believe that your success is coming from the Ribbono Shel Olam, then one would have found time to learn Torah every single day. Now, when the person forgets where their success is coming from, and the person subjugates and enslaves their mind and themselves to their business dealings, or to any other form of gashmius, whether the person enslaves their mind to their taivis, to their desires, their speech is no longer in their possession. Because one's speech is automatically drawn after their mind. As I'm sure we can all relate to, that when our minds, when we, sometimes when we daven or we're benching or whatever tefillah we might be saying, if our minds are elsewhere, we have no idea what we're saying. We're just, our mouths are mouthing the words, but our minds and our hearts are not connected to our words, and we have no idea what we're saying. Our dibur, our speech, is then in golus. Our speech is in exile. It is not in a place where it should be. Our speech should be worded, it should be mouthed with a connection to our minds. And unfortunately, when our minds are enslaved to other areas, which is our business dealings or our tithes or whatever it might be, then our speech is automatically in golus. And this is what the Arizal is referring to when the Arizal says that when we were in Mitzrayim, since our minds were enslaved to the slave mentality or to the philosophy of Mitzrayim or to the tithes of Mitzrayim, to the desires that Mitzrayim represented, the Ervas HaOretz, automatically our speech was in golus. And when we left Mitzrayim, our speech was redeemed, and we are able to have a Pesach. We're able to have a mouth that is able to speak freely with a connection of our minds and our hearts. So before a person begins to daven, before a person begins to bench, a person needs to redeem their speech. If a person has to be able to focus their mind on what they're about to do, and by doing so, one redeems their speech so that their speech should be said, should be iterated with a connection of the mind. And this is what the Zohar HaKadosh says. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, Shas Tzloisa Shas Krova, that the time of davening is time of battle. We are going to battle with the powers of evil that are within us, which is called Amalek. The Amalek wants to hold on to our speech. The Amalek wants our speech to be in Golus. And the time of davening is a time of battle, and we can definitely all relate to that. It's a time of trying to recapture our speech so that it should be in our possession instead of the possession of Amalek. Amalek is constantly trying to distract us during davening or during anytime we're trying to say a Dover Shepikdusha. Amalek wants to maintain their ownership on our speech. And we have to battle Amalek. Shas Tzloisa, Shas Krova. We have to battle Amalek and recapture that Amalek has captured from us. And this is what the Pasuk says. Zochar es asher asa lecha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you. When we are trying to leave our Mitzrayim, when we're trying to leave the place where our dibur is in golus, Amalek is there to attack us. Amalek wants to distract us and hold on to the dibur, not allowing us to speak words with a connection of our heart and mind. And thereby, Amalek wants our words to remain tachas hashamayim. Amalek wants our words to remain underneath the heavens, because words that are said without any connection of heart and mind do remain underneath the heavens. They don't go anywhere. We have a mandate of timche zecher Amalek mitachas hashamayim. We have to erase the Amalek that wants our words to remain underneath the heavens. Now, as we said before, a person brings the powers of Amalek upon themselves when we enslave our minds to matters of Gashmias, specifically when we're talking about the our business dealings. If our business dealings are not done with Emuna, with the understanding and the belief that the Rabbeinu Shlalem is the one that supports us, and therefore we shouldn't connect and enslave our minds to what we're doing. Rather, whatever we're doing has to be according to Torah and according to Emuna. If we do not realize this, rather we enslave ourselves and our minds to our jobs, to our business, we bring Amalek upon ourselves. It is then impossible for us to say words of Kedusha with the connection of our mind, because our mind will definitely be elsewhere. Now, business dealings are called in the Torah Maaseh Yodayim, the actions of our hands. And this is what Chazal are referring to when Chazal say that Amalek has an effect upon us, Kisharafu Yideihem in HaTorah, when our Maaseh Yodayim, when our business dealings are loosened from the Torah, they are not conducted according to Torah, when they're not conducted according to Emunah, that is when Vayavay Amalek, that is when Amalek has entrance into our lives. And therefore, Kasha Yorim Moshe Yodai V'Gavar Yisrael, when Moshe would lift his hands, indicating that the hands have to be done according to Torah, the hands have to be elevated, meaning our business dealings have to be elevated and done according to Torah. Only then can Bnei Yisrael be goyver. Only then can we be victorious over Amalek. If not, chas v'shalom v'gavar Amalek. And that is why it says, "Vayhi yadav emuna," that his hands represented emuna, meaning our business dealings have to be done through emuna, and only then can it be v'gavar Yisrael. Going back to where we were holding, that when a yid gets up to daven or to say any davar shebekedusha, it's a shas krava, it's a time of battle with Amalek, to redeem our speech from Amalek's hands. This is, now we understand, this is the concept of smichas geula letfila. We have to mention Geula, redemption, right before tefillah, because in order to daven, we must first redeem ourselves and redeem our speech from the hands of Amalek. Only then can we approach tefillah. And I'd like to suggest that this is why Chazal established to say the words Hashem sefasai tiftoch ufi yaget tilosecha. Hashem, open my mouth, and open my lips, and my mouth will relate your praises. If you'll look, the word Hashem, Sefasai Tiftach, the word Hashem is not the Shem Havaya. It's the way it's written in the Pasuk is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Adne Sefasai Tiftach. Which means, the word Adne means my master. And what Chazal are telling us here is before you get up to Davin, you must declare Adne, you are my master, meaning I am not enslaved to anything else besides you, Rabbeinu Shalom. Adna, you are my master. Therefore, Sifosai Tiftach, open my lips. Redeem my speech from Golus. And then, Ufiyaget Hilosach, and then my mouth can relate your praises. What we need to do before we begin Shemoneh Esrei is just declare Adna, meaning Hashem, you are my master. Nothing else is my master. I'm not enslaved to anything else. My mind, my speech, myself, I am not enslaved to anything else besides you. And now we can understand the Pasuk. When you go out to war against your enemy, meaning when you are going to daven, as the Zohar HaKadosh says, Shas Tzloisa, Shas Krova, the time of davening is the time of war. and we're going out to Amalek against our inner enemy, Amalek. And the pasuk says, if you go out, if you approach tefillah with the knowledge that this is battle, this is war, the pasuk promises us, Unesonoi Hashem alekecha v'yodecha, Hashem will give him over in your hands. V'shavisa shivya, you will be able to recapture that he has captured. You'll be able to recapture your speech. Now the pasuk continues, V'ra'isa b'shivya, Eshes yifas toyar. And I'd like to suggest, V'ra'isa b'shivya, if you see that you are still in captivity, the advice is Eshes yifas toyar. I'd like to suggest that this is an acronym. It's a Rosh HaTevis. Eshes is the first letters of Adne Sefosai Tiftach. Yifas is the first letters of Pi Yagid Tehilasecha. And Toyar is the first letters of Tfila Arichta. Chazal say that Adne Sefosai Tiftach Ufi Yagid Tehilasecha is one long Tfila. It's not an interruption. Quite the contrary, it's a transition from Geula into Tefillah, telling the Rabbeinu Shlodom, I am no one else's slave besides yours. You are my master, Adne, and therefore Sfosai Tiftach and Piyage Tilasecha. This is all Tefillah Richter. It's one long Tefillah. And the Pasuk continues, V'chashakta ba, by doing so, you will desire to connect to Hashem, lakachta lecha leisha, and you will take the Rabbeinu Shleilam as you will connect to the Rabbeinu Shleilam in an intimate way, that in a way that would have been impossible had you not first redeemed your speech from the hands of Amalek. And this is our avodah in Chodesh Elul, the avodah to prepare for our tefillos of Slichas, our tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that our tefillah should be able to be with a free speech, a speech that is redeemed from Golos, a speech that is connected to our minds and our hearts. And that way, when we are asked the question of Nasasa Manasata Be'emuna, was your business dealings, when you were involved in Gashmias, was it done with Emuna? Was it connected to Torah? Were your Masa Yodayim according to Torah? We should be able to answer affirmatively. That results in our speech being free and not subservient and enslaved to Amalek. And that schus, we will, in the schus of our tefillahs being said properly, may our tefillahs be niskabel berachamim v'rotzim, and we should be zoicha to eshnas geulah v'yeshua v'vias Mashiach tzedkenu b'mehirah v'yameinu amen.